H, yeah, S, yeah, C, yeah,
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Home Studio Corner podcast. I'm Joe Gilder, and glad to have you here. Got a lot of cool things planned today. I'm actually broadcasting from my brand new or newly relocated home studio, and this new room has two windows, which is excellent, and a lot more space. It's a lot bigger than my last room, and it sounds a lot better just because it's bigger. So I'll be doing a tour of this new home studio and put that on the blog as a video in the next couple of weeks. So be on the lookout for that. It's a lot of fun. Let's see. Today I've got a lot of fun things planned, a lot of fun things to talk about, and I will certainly be getting to the Ask Joe section where I answer some reader questions. But first, I've got a few things that I want to talk about as well. So let me start things off actually with a quote. This is actually from my friend Julian on Twitter. He's for whatever reason was feeling good about Home Studio Corner yesterday, and little free promotion there. So thanks for that, Julian. But he put on Twitter, it says, "One cool thing about Joe Gilder's HSC is Home Studios is where it all began. There were no studios when Robert Johnson recorded his songs." And first of all, thanks, Julian. But secondly, it's a really interesting thought. We tend to think that our home studios, we're just trying to play catch up with the big studios and get our recordings to sound close to, if not as good as a big studio and their recordings. And I think home studios tend to have a stigma that they're inferior. And in a lot of ways, they probably are. The microphones and preamps that I have don't compare to the microphones and preamps down at Blackbird Studio down the road. I mean, that's just a given. So they're probably most likely going to get better sounding recordings out of their system. Does that mean I can't produce something that could potentially be really successful and sound really good and be really popular out of my own home studio? No, I don't think so. And I really appreciate Julian's comment because it does kind of remind all of us that, for one, home studios have probably been around longer than most of us think. And two, it's not necessarily true that you can only get good recordings out of a pro studio. In fact, most engineers, any engineer out there, especially today, got his start in a home studio. You know, you didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to be a professional recording engineer and walk into a big studio in Nashville or LA or New York and say, you need to give me a job because I'm going to be great. No, they all started either by, you know, maybe going to school and all that, which is fine, but perhaps just starting as an internship. But whatever they did to get in the door and to make money as an engineer, it all started with them doing it on their own and developing their skills and talents. So even if your home studio doesn't ever produce a record that's going to go multi-platinum and sell a bajillion copies, that doesn't mean your home studio isn't worth your time and isn't really, really valuable. Because, you know, whether or not you go professional someday, right now, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a home studio guy, then you're honing your skills and you're working on making better recordings. And that could take you anywhere. But just don't downplay the fact that you have a home studio and think that that's somewhat of a slam against you or, you know, a bad mark on your resume. It's great. In a lot of ways, you're an entrepreneur and you're starting a business. Even if you don't plan to make money with it, your business is making good recordings. And you can certainly do that out of a home studio. So a question for you, something to think about. What are your goals for your home studio? I talk about this a fair amount on the blog and we've talked about it in webinars and things in the past, but have you thought about it lately? What are your goals? Are you a hobbyist? Meaning, do you mainly want to do this just to record your own music, to record your friends' music, and just have fun with it? Is it kind of like fishing or boating or hunting is for other people, and yours just happens to be music and recording? If so, that's great. Perhaps you want to make money doing this. I think we would all certainly like to make a few bucks at recording, even if we don't want to make it full time or, you know, focus a lot of our energy on growing it as a business. But that could be one of your goals. You perhaps are a musician and you're wanting to record your music and get it recorded good enough so that you can get your music out there and have it be heard, whether you want it heard by a major label or you simply want more and more people to have heard your music and you're wanting to do it on your own. That's great. That's an awesome goal to have. Or perhaps you're wanting to develop your skills and develop a name for yourself as an engineer. And that's what I mentioned before. Yeah, perhaps you're wanting to work in the industry and be, at some point, be a professional full-time engineer. I got an email from one of my production club members, Julian, who posted before. He's a member as well. But I got an email from Daniel out in Memphis, and he was just asking me about Nashville and the music scene here and asking some of the things he should be doing to kind of move closer to his goal of being a recording engineer. And I told him, actually told him a lot of things, and I might cover that in a blog post at some point. But, sorry, my cat just jumped up in my lap. But I told him that the biggest thing he needs to focus on is start doing music and recording now. Don't wait to get a big internship at a studio or to get into recording school if that's what you want to do. Whatever you're doing, start developing your skills. If you've got one microphone and a little bitty audio interface, start recording. Take whatever clients you can, record them for free if you need to, but start getting better. And as you get better, people will pay you if you're good. If you're not good now, that's fine. You've got to learn how to be good. Find a musician who's looking to record for free and practice and get good at it. And that's what a home studio is great for. It's like your little recording laboratory. And you're experimenting with things, you're learning how to do things, and you're slowly but surely learning little tips here and there that help you get better recordings. One day you may be recording bass and you finally figure out what frequencies you need to cut in the EQ to really make that bass shine through. Another day you may discover that de-essing is a really cool tool for more than just vocals. There's just all sorts of things, and it just takes time. It just takes time sitting in front of a system, sitting in front of a microphone, sitting in front of a set of monitors, sitting with a set of headphones on, and just going at it day in and day out. And as you move forward, you're probably going to end up getting some clients if you're really committed to getting better. So that's kind of what I was wanting to talk about today. I think it's really important that don't downplay your home studio. Whether you've got just a small little system or a nice big system, whatever it is, that's great. And you should be making good music with it, or at least trying to. Because home studios are where it all begins. Like Julian said, whether you're going to go to school for recording, you want to have a studio job, get paid to work, it's all going to come back to your home studio and what amount of time you've invested there at getting better. So with that said, I thought that was a good introduction to the HSC Production Club, because let me explain what the Production Club is. This is a 12-week course, and it's all online, and we, over the course of 12 weeks, I'm going to walk you through the production process. What do I mean by production process? I mean everything that goes into recording a song, from the pre-production phase, which is where you plan out how the recording is going to go, such as instrumentation, arrangement, tempo, time signatures, all those things that you need to have planned out before you hit record. And that's actually a process or a step that a lot of people skip, and they end up regretting it later when they have to go back and undo hours worth of work because they were in too big of a hurry to start recording that they didn't really plan anything out. We'll talk about recording, obviously, mic placement, how to record various different instruments, setting levels, all of those things. We're going to talk about editing. Once everything's recorded, we need to get in there and edit things. If you didn't see a couple of blog posts this week on Home Studio Corner about editing, I talked about why I do editing and why I fix timing issues and do some auto-tuning and things like that. And then I posted some sound examples, some audio examples on the next post showing the song actually that we're going to cover in the HSC Production Club, showing how just a few edits in that song completely tightened it up and took it to the next level as far as a kind of a professional sounding recording. And thought that was pretty cool. So go back and check out that post for sure. And then once we're done editing, we're going to talk about mixing. And you can do entire courses on mixing, such as the Mix With Us course that I'm currently running right now. But for this, it's going to cover about 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to talk about mixing. We're going to go through mixing drums and bass, guitars, percussion, vocals, keyboard stuff. Just as much as we can possibly cram into 4 weeks, we're going to cover that. And then finally, mastering. And I'll cover it a little more briefly, but give you a good overview of what mastering is, how I would master a song, and some opinions on mastering and taking it to another someone else to be mastered as opposed to doing it yourself. So over 12 weeks, we're going to cover all that material with one of my songs. And so we're going to start with a demo of my song, and we're going to edit it and change how the song is going to go. And then we're going to record it. And every week I'm going to be adding new things to the same song. And you're going to be watching these in videos. So the way that works is each week you're going to get a downloadable video or set of videos from me. And they're usually going to range somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour, hour and a half, just depending on the week. And the video will be a nice full screen video that you'll be watching my screen and watching what I do. There's some camera work, so you'll see me setting up microphones and playing and all that as well. And it's basically like you just came to my home studio and said, "Hey, Joe, I want to sit down and just watch you record, edit, mix, and master a song, one of your songs." So instead of doing a ton of songs, this is one specific song that we go through from start to finish. And at the end of the course, you're going to walk away with a really good idea of how you're going to approach recording and how you're going to approach each phase of the production process, because there's a lot involved. As you can probably guess, 12 weeks seems like a long time, but once you add in all those different categories, even at an hour a week and all of that stuff that you're going to get, it's a ton of information. So we're going to cover as much as possible, and you're going to have a really good feel for some of the things you may be lost about, or you may just feel like you're not really approaching things in a way that's very efficient or effective. And we're going to talk about all that. Now, in addition to just the videos are great. Getting a video, being able to download it, or, you know, if you were to go buy a DVD, that's wonderful. But what's so cool about the Production Club is the fact that it's not just a one-way relationship. You're not just getting a bunch of videos from me and then you never hear from me again. And you're not just the only one that's watching these videos. I've tried really hard to make this into a community, and I think I found a couple of solutions that work really well for that. So for one, it's going to be a members-only website. So this will be a dedicated website that'll look a lot like Home Studio Corner, but you'll have a dedicated login, and only members will be able to see what's on that website. So as you come in each week, I'm going to put up some posts and things that will show you what material we're covering for that week. I'll talk about some of the things that I'm doing and a good bit of written content, and then you'll download the videos and watch them. After watching them, then you can come back and comment. Just like you can on Home Studio Corner, you can come back to the Production Club website and put comments and post questions. And I'll answer your questions. You can ask them directly to me, but also you can talk with your other Production Club members, people who have particular questions about some songs that they're working on or want to know how they can apply something that I said to a specific situation that may be a little different than what's in the video. And they can ask me to expand on things I talked about in the video. All sorts of things. You're talking with me. You're talking with your other classmates, if you will, other members of the Production Club. And there's just a lot of interaction, because I think that's the best way to learn. You have to be able to watch someone do it and have them teach it to you clearly. And I think I've got a real knack for teaching things in such a way that really makes sense, and also explains not just here's what you do, but here's why you do it. And here's the situation that you'd want to do this particular technique. And I try to give you a real understanding so you can think through these things and really make some good headway into your own recordings. So you'll have that teaching, and all that's going to be available to you. But then if you'd like to have that community, just like a classroom setting where you're bouncing questions off of your classmates and also the teacher, then that's what I'm also providing as well, which is really cool. And so in addition to being able to ask questions on the site in the comments section, we're going to have weekly coaching calls. And all this is just a live Q&A call with me. And it's in a webinar format. So you'll log on, and we'll have them once a week at various times, and you'll be able to ask me questions. You can come on live and talk to me just like a radio show, if you will, or you can just type in your questions and I'll answer those. So that's a great time as kind of a catch-all for any questions you might have that maybe require a bit more discussion than is really feasible through the comments section on the blog, and you can ask as much as you want. So we do those hour-long coaching calls once a week. So that's 12 calls over the course of the 12 weeks. And for the most part, I get those recorded, and you can listen to those afterward if you can't make a particular call. And so I'm just giving you way after way after way to really get a full and as much of an education out of this as possible. And the final thing in the context of creating some sort of a community around this is something I like to call the listening room. And this is a separate section of the website where you can post your own music. So ideally, as we're working through the production club and I'm recording and mixing and editing my song, ideally you'll be doing the same with one of your songs. And you don't have to, there's no homework involved. But if you wanted to, you could be doing it alongside me and then post your progress throughout the 12 weeks. And I can listen to it and make comments, but also everybody else can listen to it and give you their own opinions, whether it's about production advice, as far as what instruments to put where, when to bring in the guitar as opposed to the bass, and if you need percussion and all those types of things, to mixing questions. You know, the bass is too loud. You need to remove some of the low mids in this section. Try a de-esser on the vocal to keep it from chopping your head off so much. All those types of things. So you'll have a section where you can post as much or as little as you want and then have me and the rest of the members comment on that. So the production club has been around for about 6 months. I started it in November of 2009. And so far, I've had 86 students. So I've done a couple of different classes, and I've just gotten an enormous amount of feedback from these guys. The students are loving what's out there. They tell me that they haven't really found anything like that on the internet. And it's got a lot of the benefits of taking a recording class at a place like SAE or, you know, name your recording school. But you don't have to relocate. You don't have to pick up and stop everything, quit your job and go off to a school somewhere. You can do this on the nights and weekends and make some real progress in your studio, even if it's not your day job. So I've gotten a ton of feedback, a ton of folks saying, this is great. Keep doing stuff like this. We want more and more of this type of thing. So that's why I started the mixwithus.com mixing class as well. So just I think we've hit on something that works really well and people are really excited about. Speaking of Mix With Us, you may wonder, what's the difference between the production club and the mixwithus.com course? They're fairly different. Mix With Us is, over the course of 10 weeks, I show you how I mix 10 songs. So it's focused specifically on just mixing, and you get multi-tracks of the songs and download those and mix those yourself. The production club is more of an overview, and it's a little more in-depth, meaning we go in-depth into pre-production, in-depth into recording for a few weeks, editing for a few weeks, mixing, mastering, and so on. So it's if you want a good overview of the entire process, you may feel fairly comfortable about maybe recording, but you don't know much about pre-production, editing, and mixing, then it's a great value. And that's kind of the idea behind the production club. So that's going to happen next week. So mark your calendars. If you haven't signed up to my newsletter, be sure to do that. Actually, if you're interested, there's an interest list that you can sign up to, and I'll put the link to that in the show notes. It's, if you just go to homestudiocorner.com and click on production club at the top, then you'll go there. It'll give you a little more information about what's covered each week, and it'll put you on a list if you sign up, where you'll get kind of first access to the course. So I'm probably going to limit it to probably 50 to 75 students. If it gets much over that, it becomes hard to keep track of everything if everybody's commenting and posting mixes and things. But I've not nailed it down exactly how many are going to come in. But there will be some sort of limit there. Also, as far as pricing goes, the last course, which I launched back in February, was $99 a month. And so this one's going to be very close to that, if not a little bit more, because I've made some changes and things. It's going to be right around that range. So if you're thinking about joining, that gives you an idea of what you need to set aside for the course. But in my opinion, obviously I'm biased, but I think this is an insane value for everything that you're getting. I think it totals up to 14 or 15 hours worth of high quality HD 1200 by 800 video, in addition to all the interaction and the Q&A and the training and everything else. So that's the HSC Production Club. Hopefully I've explained it fairly well. If you've got questions, feel free to email me, joe@homestudiocorner.com. You can leave a comment on the blog, on this podcast post. However you want to get in touch with me, go for it. Twitter, it's just at Joe Gilder on Twitter. So that's the HSC Production Club. Now, in kind of the spirit of the Production Club, I wanted to do something free for everybody. So people who maybe can't join or don't want to join, whatever the case may be, you may not have heard, but I'm doing this massive webinar on Monday. So it's on Monday the 26th at 7:30 Central Time. So that's 8:30 on the East Coast in New York, 5:30 in LA. And I don't know what time that is overseas, but you can figure that out. And what I'm going to do is, this is going to be basically somewhat like one of the coaching calls from the production club, except it's going to be me and six other people. So we've got John, Ryan, and Jesse from the Home Recording Show. Got Big Al Wagner from Home Studio Guru and the Project Studio Network. We've got Slough from Sessions with Slough, and we've also got Sean from Key of Gray. So these are great, really fun, really smart, knowledgeable, and a pretty hilarious group of bloggers and podcasters, and obviously they're all audio engineers and musicians. And they were gracious enough to join me for this webinar. So if you can make it, you definitely want to come out. It's just a free webinar where we're going to answer your questions. We're going to talk about making great recordings from home and some of the things we've learned over the years and how to get good recordings. So if you're interested in that, I'm going to put the link to that in the show notes, and it'll be a blog post that gives you a little more information about who's going to be on the webinar. And then there's a link at the bottom to register. So you want to get registered. You can't just show up, but you do want to register. So click there to register. And the way you attend is you simply, when the time comes, you click on it and it logs you in, and you can listen to the seven of us jabber on. And then you can ask questions via just typing them in, or we may be able to have a few people ask questions via, we'll unmute your microphone and you can talk, but you don't have to talk at all. You can just sit back and listen, and it should be really fun. I should have a recording of that for those of you that can't make it, but I can't promise you. So if you're thinking about joining, you need to try your best to make it on Monday night. All right, so those are my topics for discussion before we get into answering some of your questions. So hopefully I covered everything fairly well, and we're going to hop over and answer a few questions in the Ask Joe section of the podcast. But first, I'm going to have a little bump music to transition between the two sections. And this is actually a song off of my upcoming album. I like to throw a few of those in there. The album should be done in the next month or so, about halfway through mixing it, and pretty excited. It sounds pretty good. And this song is called I Won't Fly Away.
I won't fly away.
To it just with the chorus, it sounds fairly repetitive, which I guess it is, but so that's one of the songs. So let's jump in to the Ask Joe section, see if we can't get some of your questions answered here. I've got six questions here, so we'll jump in and answer those real quick, and then the podcast will be done. The first one is from Joseph in Minneapolis, I believe. It says, Hi Joe, I hope to record my band this year, and I'm currently in pre-production. I hope to track drums in one of our homes. I have a Firewire M-Audio Firewire 1814, which should have plenty of inputs for the drum mics. And I'm looking at getting the Samson 8-piece drum mic kit. With the 1814, I will have to use a bunch of XLR to quarter-inch adapters for the mic cables. Questions: what are your opinion on the Samson 8 kit? Do the XLR to quarter-inch adapters degrade the sound, or should I be looking to some kind of AD/DA converter with mic preamps and an ADAC connection to my 1814? For example, the Behringer ADA 8000. I'm not a huge fan of Behringer. This is just an example. Thanks for all you do. Love the site and podcast. Well, Joseph, thank you. And I'm kind of curious about what you're saying about the 1814 and quarter inch to XLR adapters. I'm thinking there's something that you are missing there. Let's see if I can find a picture of the back panel here on the internet to talk about it, because let me see. Okay, I'm looking at a picture of the 1814, and the back panel on that has... there it is. Okay. If I'm looking at the correct one, you're talking about it's got two mic inputs on the front and then a bunch of quarter inch inputs on the back. You cannot actually use that to record drums. You can use the two mic inputs on the front, but the quarter inch inputs on the back are line inputs. So a microphone can't go into a line input. It needs to go through a preamp first. So you're not capable of putting more than two microphones into your system as you currently have it. So your options are to get some preamps and run those into the quarter inch inputs, or you can get, like you said, some sort of a preamp that has ADAT output on it. However, you want to make sure that the ADAT input on the back of that 1814 is actually is designed for 8-channel ADAT as opposed to just optical SPDIF. And I know I'm probably throwing out some terms out there. An optical port can either be ADAT, which carries 8 channels of audio, or it can actually just be a 2-channel protocol, sometimes called Toslink or optical SPDIF. And that only lets you have 2 channels to come in. So you need to go and read your manual and kind of, that's probably the best thing, is read the manual and see what they say of how that product is supposed to be used. Then go from there. If it does allow 8 channels of input, then yeah, getting some sort of eight channel preamp with ADAT output would be the perfect solution. Something like the PreSonus Digimax would be great. And they have a couple different models, but they're actually inexpensive and great sounding options. So that's what I would do. As far as that Samson drum mic kit, I've owned a couple of those mics before, and they seem fine. So if that's what your budget allows, I say go for it. Next question is from David. It says, I'm about to purchase a Stage Snake. I'm looking for a 16x4, 50-foot long. My question is, will I need to boost the signal somehow? I'm getting it for my drum mics. Rather than having 8 cables coming from every direction, I'll have one. Also, I know that a preamp is important. Is there any way to use one preamp for everything? Maybe run it through an effects loop on my mixer. I'm self-taught, so if that is a big no-no, tell me. Thanks for all your helpful advice. Your webpage has become one of my top resources for all my audio needs. Well, thanks, David. A couple of things. No need to boost the signal. We're talking microphone signals, which as long as you're using microphone, you know, normal microphones that have an XLR output, then that's a balanced cable. And being that it's a balanced cable, it can go really long cable runs without any loss in sound or signal level. Now, that said, with a 50-foot cable, you'll be fine. But you do need to run all your microphones through a preamp. So if you're running 8 cables, you need 8 preamps to go through. You mentioned running everything through one preamp, and no, that is a no-no, actually. You really, there's no way to do that. Each microphone needs its own preamp because each microphone is going to need to be at a different level. The snare microphone, you probably don't have to turn up the preamp nearly as much as the overheads or the hi-hat. So if you don't have an interface or some sort of preamp that you, or set of preamps that gives you 8 preamp inputs into your system, then you're not ready to record drums, and you don't need to get a snake yet because you still need to have mic inputs. But it sounds like you probably already have the 8 mic inputs. You're mainly getting the snake to make it easier to connect them. So if that's the case, then everything should be fine. Good question. Next question is from Reggie. It says, hey, Joe, I came across your web link while viewing soundonsound.com. Well, that's cool. I didn't know they were linking over here. Very cool. You are providing great information for us home studio / singer, songwriter, recording artist, music lovers. I'm an older baby boomer guitarist / songwriter, rekindling a long forgotten passion. Now that the technology has become affordable, I purchased a number of items to build a personal home studio. Tascam DP01FX, SM58, AKG 420 Perception, Ovation CC44, and acoustic AG60 acoustic guitar amp, and LR Bags Para Acoustic DI. Very cool. Long introduction, right? I know. You mention and reference software DAWs, Pro Tools, Cakewalk, and others. Have you provided encouragement and or review for physical DAW units? Just a question, but great information and encouragement. I am a fan, Reggie. Well, thanks, Reggie. You know, to be completely honest, no, I don't talk about hardware recorders very much. In my very first series of posts that I did, and in the ebook, 12 Home Studio Necessities, I talk just briefly about it. And I don't talk about them because I don't use them. And I feel like that they're going away. I don't think they'll go away completely, but I think computer recording is where the overwhelming majority of people are, and that's what they're using. For the folks who aren't comfortable with computers or just don't want to use computers, the standalone options are great. But in some ways, there's not as much to say about them because you can't really do editing on there. You can't really expand it. There's no plugins and things like that. Not to say they're not good and can't sound great. But no, I just don't talk about them because I don't use them myself. And I think the majority of people out there are on computers, so that's what I focus on. That said, a lot of the things that I talk about, such as mixing and EQ and compression and setting levels and all of those things, those concepts apply to everything. So there's no reason a lot of the posts on Home Studio Corner can't apply to a standalone workstation of some sort. However, the things when I'm talking about editing or how to set up a reverb track in Pro Tools or any of those Pro Tools videos, some of those might not be applicable, but I imagine more are applicable than you would initially think. But hopefully that answers your question. Sorry, I'm not a standalone recorder kind of guy, but hopefully you can still get some value out of the website. Good question. Next question is from Zach. It says, "Hey Joe, just wondering if you could recommend a good clip-on acoustic guitar tuner. Up till now, I've been trusting my ears and tuning to a piano. However, I would like something a bit more precise. Are the clip-on tuners reliable in your opinion? Appreciate your help. Your site is one of my most frequented. Keep up the great work, Zach." Thanks, Zach. I'm glad to have you as a reader. Let's see. A good clip-on tuner. Planet Waves makes a good one. And it's just their Planet Waves clip-on tuner. And a buddy of mine just started a gear review website that he did. The first product he reviewed is that tuner. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes. The website is beardsandgear.wordpress.com. Beards as in facial hair and gear. He's got a beard and he's kind of weird. So that explains it. But yeah, so he's got a review there. They work well because they don't rely on having to hear the guitar. So in a noisy environment, if you're playing a show at a club or a bar or whatever, and you can't, you know, it's too loud for the tuner to hear the guitar, it actually works through the vibrations in the neck itself. And so that works fairly well. If you are playing a lot of shows and you're plugging into a sound system, another option would be instead of a clip-on tuner, just a stomp box tuner, like the Boss TU-2. That's what I use. And you plug your guitar into that and you stomp on it. It mutes the signal going out to the PA and allows you to tune, and it listens to the sound that way. But if you don't have a pickup on your guitar or you're just not interested in that, the clip-on tuner is going to be cheaper and works fairly well. Good question. Next question is from Rick. Says, "I'm wondering about treating my ceiling. How important is that? Also, my ceiling is vaulted, going up behind me to about 12 feet peak height. How would you recommend treating a ceiling like this? Thanks, Rick." Well, Rick, I don't treat my ceiling too much. The only place I do treat it is the spot where there will be immediate reflections from my monitors. So directly above the mix position, in the spot where the sound's going to bounce off the ceiling and come back and hit me in the ears, that's where I treat it. So I put some foam up there to absorb those reflections so that I'm just hearing the sound from the speakers. So that goes for the side walls and behind the speakers and also above me in the ceiling. So those are the places that I treat. As far as being a vaulted ceiling, I don't think there's a big issue as long as you're treating that reflection point. Everything else is just kind of a trial and error type thing. All right, final question is from Mark. It says, "Hi, Joe. I have an iMac with Inbox 2 Pro with Pro Tools 7.1.3. I also have a MacBook Pro laptop, and I want to buy an Inbox Micro so I can use it on the road. If I buy the Inbox Micro and install it on my MacBook Pro laptop with Pro Tools 8, can I alternatively use my Inbox 2 Pro with the laptop? Will it recognize it? My laptop does have FireWire 400 to run the Inbox 2 Pro, unlike the newer ones." Yeah, absolutely. Pro Tools 8 recognizes all current Digi interfaces. I think it doesn't work with the older Inbox, the original Inbox, but Inbox 2, that whole family, it's fine. You just plug it in, it'll recognize it, and you'll be able to go from there. Not a problem at all. Okay, so that's it for the Ask Joe section of the podcast, and I'm about ready to wrap things up for the week. So thanks again for being a listener of the podcast. I certainly appreciate it, and hopefully you're a reader over at homestudiocorner.com as well. And if you have any questions, like I said before, my email is joe@homestudiocorner.com, or you can just head over to the website and ask a question there. All right, thanks again, and we'll see you again next week.